Brothers and sisters, when we began our studies in Proverbs back in February, it was an underlying theme that opened our thoughts into the book. It remained through our look at man's relationship to God and also man's relationship to himself, and will continue with us to the end this evening in the man's relationship to others. That theme was wisdom and folly, which of course we've just read about through Brother Bob. And while it is not always mentioned directly in the context of what a verse might be saying, a route is often possible back to that theme. The fact that the first four chapters of Proverbs are given over to wisdom and folly, and more particularly wisdom, there seems to be an importance in instilling this into the reader from the start. Now, I don't want to use too much time up this evening going over ground we have covered previously. So, keeping the aforementioned theme in mind, we can turn immediately our attentions more immediately to this evening's look at man's relationship to others, which will naturally lead us to verses we may have taken a look at earlier in the year. I would like this evening to put people a person will know into three categories: friends, enemies and children. And join to these two themes that tie in: love and truthfulness. It could be said that beside any human being's family, the most important relationship will be that of a friend or friends. There is, of course, the old saying that goes, you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family. And while this may just be a simple saying, it can be put to many a circumstance when the two are involved, though generally in a negative sense. But why are friends different? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 reads, A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Straight away, this verse would seem to indicate the importance of choosing one's friends wisely. The alternative text reads, a man who has friends may come to ruin, possibly pointing out that making friends too easily or even whenever or wherever may not be the best way forward. Though it may not come naturally to everyone, some circumstances can make friendship seem easier, as mentioned in the next chapter and verse 6. Many entreat the favour of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Yes, generosity makes an attractive friend, but just how deep does this go? All of us here are no strangers to having some generous friends, but there is just a bit more to it than that, isn't there? It can only make for a shallow foundation, and any change in circumstance could see this friendship crumble. It could have the potential to be one-sided also, with vested interest being a sole reason and foundation of such a relationship. One-way satisfaction is the best to hope for. But what about those true friends? That friend who sticks closer than a brother? Well, trust is an easy box to tick when thinking on what is required, but the hard work goes far beyond even this necessity in any friendship. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Being close to any family member is not always a foregone conclusion, as we know. So often we require that neutral ear to listen to, a neutral word of advice, and that all-important neutral arm around our shoulders. Proverbs 27 verse 10 Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbour nearby than a brother far away. And whilst we all know, brothers and sisters, our family will stand shoulder to shoulder with us through most things, there can at times be no substitute for a tried and tested friend. This added dimension they will bring to any situation, good or bad, should never be underestimated. And Proverbs goes further by not only pointing out the basic positives of true friends, but also an almost brutal honesty that can in itself be necessary and useful. Chapter 27, verse 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. To genuinely express care and love is in effect to tell the truth. Being able to look someone in the eye to rebuke or maybe disagree with them is not so much an acquired skill as it is an absolute show of open, caring, and loving honesty. And two of our themes mentioned at the beginning shine through at this point: love and truthfulness. And whether this is to be given or received, few could ask for more from any friend. Proverbs 28:23. He who rebukes a man will find more favour afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. And also in a Psalm of David, in chapter 141, verse 5 reads, Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness, and let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil, let my head not refuse it. Obviously, being on the receiving end holds its own responsibilities also. Taking this kind of love on board will never be easy, but dealt with in the right way, it should surely yield rewards. If a friendship is truly a two-way street, then reward and benefit alike are constantly on offer for any involved. And as we read in chapter 27 and verse 17, the closer the bond, the better the outward character of that relationship is revealed. 27 verse 17, As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As we know, we ourselves have no greater example of a perfect friend than our very own Lord and Master. By his own supreme expression of friendship, our guidelines are clear and straightforward. In the New Testament, John chapter 15, verse 13, Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And while we will all find this a generally unthinkable scenario, Jesus' words and actions gives us, as his followers, the sacrificial goal that we should be aiming for, not only with our friends, but with one another in general. And when talking about friends, we may think that any mention of enemies on the same level would tend to take us off in a completely different direction. And from the type of relationship involved, this may be true. But Proverbs is very vocal and clear that the two are to be treated no less equally when it comes to conduct, and above all, love. But our enemies really something that we associate with our own day-to-day lives now. What or who would we say constitutes an enemy in our life personally? It seems a strong word, doesn't it? when we think of it in these terms. So how about if we stretch it further to say, anyone who stands for the opposite that we do, or even stands against everything that we do and believe. Now do we have an enemy? Or is this still too strong a word, maybe? Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Brothers and sisters, I've often asked myself a question, do we in the truth have it too easy? Maybe it seems a strange question, but we often give thanks for and talk about how blessed we are to meet, worship, even advertise and express what we believe in the way we do and where we do. Collectively, it is possibly one of our greatest blessings. And to ever take it for granted and forget the alternative would be a dangerous sense of security. We don't have to go back to biblical times to read of the kind of goings-on that we are so blessed to live without. Were this not the case, we might possibly have a better idea just what having enemies felt like. But of course, the words in chapter 16, verse 7 are not pointing to a general rule. Persecution can come from all sorts of angles and in different ways. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. For evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In any part of life, treating someone we might see as an enemy with the same respect and love as we would a friend may seem a rather impossible task. But is what's required really that far out of the question? Back to Proverbs and 25 verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Here, bringing shame on such a person with such righteous and selfless methods is reward enough for the effort taken. And only state of mind and attitude can make this possible. Motives must be equally as important to avoid committing the greater wrong. As we go back a chapter to 24 and verse 17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. The fact that our Father in Heaven's love extends to his enemies should be lesson enough for us. His universal love causes blessings to fall indiscriminately, as should our care for friend or foe. Jesus' words in Matthew 5 verse 44 read, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain upon the just and the unjust. What should never be forgotten is that wall of security that God builds around us if we faithfully follow him. Whether we feel the safety of that wall in our minds or demonstrate it outwardly, we must trust it and never be afraid to use it. We look to the New Testament again and Romans chapter 8 verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And again, our underlying themes of love and truthfulness shine through, brothers and sisters. Seeking the greater good for another, whoever that might be, can only reflect true love and God's and Christ's example. It may at times seem a tall order to carry out, but costs little and contributes hugely to our standing. This is summed up in Proverbs 10 verse 12, the short verse that reads, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." And through our study of man's relationship to others this evening, the personal instruction of Scripture involving friends and enemies may carry common links to each other. But they are no less linked to our third category, which is our relationship to children. Through all aspects of life, there is something that is in the background, reflecting our own actions constantly. We know that wherever we go and whatever we do, our Father in heaven watches us. But it should not be forgotten also that amongst us is a very impressionable presence. In our daily lives, of course, children do not necessarily play a part for us all. But as an ecclesia, they certainly do. And responsibility of setting good examples does not just fall on the shoulders of parents, old or young. The book of Proverbs regularly offers guidance for the young, the instruction and appropriate discipline to use, and all-round guidance for fathers, mothers, and adults in general. Chapters 3 and 4 are almost completely given to this, also pointing out possible consequences of poor training. Right back in chapter 1 and verse 5 of Proverbs, we read, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." With a believer able to use that wisdom available, the ability to guide others with truth can be put to use, even with children. And further on, we can read a fatherly example. Chapter 4 and verse 10. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." And forward again to chapter 10 and verse 9, which reads, "He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known." And finally in 20 verse 7, "The righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." Good example and integrity may all sound an ideal fatherly relationship, but this is possible and can or should be our aim as a collective. Not only is the way of right, truth, and what is trusted in being demonstrated, but security also, something that children need in abundance, of course. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. And this is what we looked at back in our first study, brothers and sisters. There is no wisdom but that linked to what we believe in, believe and trust in, and must surely be the focal point of any or all instruction. Verse 13 of chapter 4. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And so we see not only the importance of the role that is to be played in instructing, but also the direct lesson to the children and the importance of their instruction. So what if this is not in place? As ever, the plain language of Proverbs explains through the book's ever-present theme. A few verses. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy, and so on. Although it is easy to see these verses as fairly extreme, we are in no doubt as to the lesson. For any parent, children bringing gladness of heart must be one of the unparalleled feelings. You are in effect reaping the reward for what has been sown in those young minds. Unfortunately, this also has a habit of being the case with the alternative. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Brothers and sisters, if we have indeed accepted that the right way is God's way, then the simple lesson of this verse cannot be denied. It is that way that this book goes to great lengths to specify in detail. Proverbs 3 verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. And 15 verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. And also chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. At this point, I don't want to get into a lengthy study about seemingly corporal punishment of children, as on more than one occasion in Proverbs the rod of correction is mentioned. But if the last verse is taken in the metaphorical sense, the lesson remains for that much needed discipline. For a child's natural foolishness to be allowed to blossom into adulthood may be a worst case scenario, but foolishness takes on many forms and unchecked is a danger to all involved. We read in chapter 22 and verse 15, Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And also in 29 verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And the majority of us here will have a good experience of the changes that have come to the raising of children in the last few decades, from teaching at school to parenting at home, and all examples round about. Methods have developed and ideas have changed. And as in every other aspect of life, this is of course natural. There will always be discussion over what has changed for the worse and what has changed for the better. But maybe the question we should be asking is, have these changes done anything for us or our children with who we share our lives in our walk to the kingdom? We certainly may feel at times like we have not exactly been done any favours, and the task of raising a child, certainly in the truth, has got just that little bit harder. We're all well aware of the pressure children face, and to a degree we face the pressures ourselves too. The difference being that we at least have the tools to deal with this. But what about children? Their defence mechanism is us, whether parents or other brothers and sisters. For a fleeting amount of time, we have a chance to set that example we spoke of earlier. One of the biggest pressures today seems to be expectation, which in itself is not a negative, depending on where it is placed. What is our primary expectation for our children? Naturally, they will be there. But will one go at the cost of another? Is there room for more than one? And these are only questions we can answer over time and within ourselves. But as we know and have seen, we have been equipped with the tools we need to overcome just these type of challenges. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So over our three studies in Proverbs this year, and on closer inspection, what we appear to have in front of us are all the applications and implications of all that is in God's moral law. Personally, I like to think of it as maybe a handbook for life within the handbook for life. As we have looked at some aspects of our relationship to others tonight, throughout all three studies, not only has Proverbs revealed answers, but that shining example of our Saviour has been there every step of the way. We remember John 3 verse 15 from earlier, which was particularly relevant for us tonight. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Looking into Proverbs for valuable lessons on life is one thing, but looking to the one who lived those lessons to the absolute letter is quite another. We can think of Solomon, to whom the Proverbs are partly attributed, the greatness he received from the hand of God, the blessings, and then the failure. Both have left their own individual examples, but is there one that we are drawn to more than the other? Well, there is, isn't there? Whilst we can very easily identify with many of the points raised in Proverbs, the example that spurs us on is that of a man who got it absolutely right, who received so much from his father, but gave so much and everything, so much and everything even in return. In the book of Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, we read, "Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity." And we know many things may be thrown at us throughout life, and problems to overcome and deal with, but also joy, happiness, even success. Life itself may be very good to us. But through all, one relationship must remain intact and unaffected, that which is with our Father in heaven. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Brothers and sisters, I would like to finish this evening with a small reading from Proverbs chapter 3. In studying for this evening, I'd already skimmed over the passage a few times before it really jumped out at me. Not only does it have Proverbs' message as its foundation, but it struck me as one of those type of passages you wish you had been aware of and appreciated that bit more when you were young. Proverbs 3, reading from verse 13. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught."